طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our session number 68, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language or Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And the chapter or the book that we're reading from is the final book of the Level 3 Fiqh, that is Al-Hajj, Kitab Al-Hajj. And the topic that we're going to read today, the new topic today, is the last topic from Kitab Al-Hajj, Ma Yastahibbu Fil Hajj. Any of those things which are recommended actions of the Hajj, things that are recommended, not obligatory, and not essential elements, but they are from the Sunnah, recommended, praiseworthy, commendable acts. Before we look at those things that are mustahab, I just want to quickly review with us yani some of the things that we mentioned in the past few sessions that is related to, well, by the way, this topic, as I said, is the last topic from Kitab al-Hajj. And it's on page 86, 87, and 88 from our textbook that we are reading from. And also, there are some notes from Al-Wajiz for Fiqh al-Sunnah wal-Kitab al-Aziz on pages 247 to 252, which is a little bit more detailed and brings some of the references in terms of the evidence from Hadith for the points that are mentioned in our textbook. So it's of great importance that we refer back to Al-Wajiz in order to see some of the Hadith and the evidences that are mentioned concerning these yani mustahabbat, or those things that are yani recommended or commendable or praiseworthy to do during the Hajj. And then there are some other areas that need some further clarification, and I would refer you, I don't know if we have a PDF file for Manasik al-Hajj by Sheikh al-Albani. Did we send that to the class? I think I sent it. I'm not absolutely certain. But anyway, some of the details that are not clarified in any of the other sources, inshallah, I'll refer to them also, to Manasik al-Hajj wal-Umrah by Sheikh al-Albani. Not ikhtiyarat yani fiqhiyah. Not the... Okay, in any case, I'll send it to the class. Somebody send me a reminder. So, before we go into the subject for today, the things that are mustahab in Hajj, I want to review quickly yani the arkan of Hajj. And if somebody can help me to remember, what are the arkan of Hajj? The ihram from the miqat? Okay, so the first rukn from the arkan of Hajj is the niyya for ihram. The niyya for ihram. Arkan, the arkan, the essential pillars of Hajj. Okay, so the first of them is the niyyah of ihram, the niyyah to enter into ihram for the performance of Hajj or Umrah. Second, al-wukuf bi'arafat, by any part of the day or the night. It's essential that a person at least spend some part of the day or the night on Arafat. And the third, al-tawaf, yani tawaf al-ifadah, the main tawaf of Hajj. And the last of them, the sa'i between Safar and Marwa. And also, from those things that we mentioned recently, are the wajibat of Hajj. Now we come to the wajibat, yeah, Abu Bakr. No problem. I might have said wajibat, that's possible. But the first one, huh? Okay, yeah. We also mentioned that some of the scholars said that the night and il mabit bi Muzdalifah is also from the essential aspects, essential yani pillars of Hajj. Okay, so aside from that particular difference of opinion, yani in terms of those things that are pretty much agreed upon by the others, and they have a strong argument for that particular point, as we mentioned previously. The wajibat of Hajj, those things which are obligatory for a person to do in the Hajj, and if they didn't do it, yani it doesn't make the Hajj invalid, but they have to make up for it by some yani compensation, right? Okay, so what are the wajibat of Hajj? First, al-ihram min al-miqat, okay, from the miqat, without crossing the miqat. Second of them, we said that wukuf Arafah is from the arkan of Hajj, and from the wajibat of Hajj is the... Wait, before that, wukuf Arafah يعني from the wajibat of Hajj is the wukuf of Arafah. Yeah. حتى غربت الشمس. يعني until staying until the sun has set. Staying until the sun, not leaving before the sun has set. And then the third, Mabit. Okay, Mabit Mina. But according, aside from the difference that he mentioned, Mabit the Muzdalifah is considered by the majority of scholars as a wajib from wajibat al-Hajj. Mabit Muzdalifah. And Mabit Mina, that's four. Shaving or cutting the hair, that's five. Stoning the Jamarat, that's six. And the last thing from the wajibat of Hajj is Tawaf al-Wada. Naam. Okay, so now, after considering those things, what are the sunan of Hajj? Okay, there are many. There are many. So many. That if a person goes to perform Hajj, it's not likely that they're going to do everything that's from the sunan of Hajj. It's not likely, because most people are not going to know. They're not going to know. But if a person is concerned, then they're going to try to know. And then they're going to try to do them. And that is how it's possible that if a person performs the Hajj sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, and they avoid sin and disobedience and harming others, then perhaps, yani perhaps, they might have a Hajj mabrur. If they, yani, do everything as the Prophet ﷺ did it, not just that which is a rukun or a wajib, but even those things that are mustahab. So that's what we want to talk about today, the things that are mustahab in the Hajj. And as I said, there are many. Shaving the hair is afdal than cutting it short. Uh-huh. The shaving all the hair is better than just cutting it short. Yes. طيب جزاك الله خير. نعم. Okay, so So I'm reading from page 86. ما يستحب في الحج. That which is يعني beloved, commendable, rewardable, praiseworthy during the pilgrimage. يستحب الحج يعني that which is يعني commendable for the pilgrim, the person performing pilgrimage, is ما يلي. And here, yani, I should mention that they mentioned here 34 matters. And that is not all of them. But that's what they mentioned here, 34. Alright, so some of these things you might be aware of, and some of them you might not be aware of. So, and it's important to make a note of the things that you're not aware of. Okay, huh? Now, so the first of them, الاغتسال قبل الإحرام وتقليم الأظفار وإحفاء الشارب ونتف الإبطي وحلق العانة. Now, they mention all of these things together as one. Yani, that is the preparations that a person should do before entering the state of Ihram. Yani, taking a ghusl before entering the state of Ihram. Clipping the nails from the hands and from the feet. Cutting the mustache. Yani, meaning not shaving it, cutting it. Cutting it neatly. Natfu al-ibti, literally, yani, what is intended by this is plucking the hairs from under the arms. But if a person wasn't able to pluck them, then it's possible to remove them by other means. Because the point is, right, is it's a matter of cleanliness. It's part of tahara.
I tried that
once. Naam. And also shaving the private areas. Shaving the private areas. These are all part of what? The matters of tahara before a person enters into a state of ihram. So a person should take a ghusl, but not only that, they should clip their nails, trim their mustache, remove the hairs from their underarms, and shave the hair is completely from the private parts. Trim it. And ihfa al-sharib means to trim it. Now,
does all this has to be done before the day, or it can be done like even 2 days before?
Yani, it should be done before entering the state of ihram. Yani, whether 1 hour before, 2 hours before, the day before. But of course, it's preferable that it should be done before you enter the state of ihram, not 3 days before, 1 week before. It should be done when you are getting ready to enter ihram. That's how you, when you should do it. And if a person did it the day before, inshallah, it will suffice. But I mean, if you know, if you want to, it's preparation for entering ihram. So at the time when you're ready to enter ihram, that's when you should do those things as best as possible. It doesn't have to be exactly 1 hour before or something like that, but as close as possible to time. Second thing, at-tatayyib qabla al-ihram. Yani, using some kind of scent, sweet-smelling scent, fragrance, before entering the state of ihram. Because as we know, yani, once a person is in the state of ihram, it's prohibited to use the sweet-smelling scent. The third thing, at-talbiyah. Warafu as-sawt biha. Yani, reciting the talbiyah and raising one's voice while reciting it. Yani, reciting it out loud. Reciting the talbiyah out loud. Huh? This is the first thing that I mentioned, and the second thing that I mentioned said qabla al-ihram. Here I didn't say qabla al-ihram. Al-talbiyah is not before entering state of ihram. Al-talbiyah is while you're performing the hajj. Now, once a person enters the state of ihram, they should continuously recite the talbiyah as much as possible. Al-talbiyah wa rafu as-sawt biha. Reciting the talbiyah and raising one's voice with it. وَهِيَ أَنْ يَقُولَ الْحَاجِ أَوَ الْمُعْتَمِرُ لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَيْكَ لَبَيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَيْكَ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْحُمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. Yani, the talbiyah is to say these words, لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَيْكَ, which means, here I am, at your call, yani, in obedience to your call, O Allah, لَبَيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَيْكَ, and you have no partner. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكُ, yani that the praise and the bounty and the sovereignty over everything belongs to you, لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, and you have no partner. Yani, the core meaning, the essence of the core meaning of talbiyah, it is that a person is surrendering to Allah, complying with His command, and acknowledging His tawheed, that He alone deserves this, obedience and submission. The fourth matter after the talbiyah is al-dhikru wa-du'a'u wa-minhu al-tasbih wa-tahmid wa-tahleel wa-takbir wa-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa-kira'atu al-Qur'an al-Karimi. So also from the sunnahs of hajj is that a person be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah and in supplicating to Allah. And from that remembrance of Allah is at-tasbih, which means to say subhanallah, and at-tahmid, which means to say alhamdulillah, and at-tahleel, which means to say la ilaha illallah, and at-takbir means to say Allahu Akbar, and as-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asking for salat and salam on the Prophet, wa qira'atul Qur'an al-Kareem. So this is, yani, this is how a person's tongue should be engaged while they have entered into the state of ihram and they're performing hajj. They should be engaged in the dhikr of Allah and in the praise and glorification of Allah and supplicating to Allah, and not engaged in just worldly talk and maybe things that are worse than that. Yani, sinful discussion and talk about things that are even, yani, not even permissible while a person is in the state of ihram. Yani, we shouldn't be talking about the NBA Finals or the Super Bowl Championship or some other nonsense that people are engaged in when they, yani, are not conscious of what we're doing. This is what people are doing. I mean, really. You know? But we should be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah and the praise and glorification of Allah, recitation of the Quran and so on. Point number five. قَوْلُهُ, yani, from the sunnah of hajj, mustahabbat of hajj, قَوْلُهُ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ السَّلَامُ وَمِنْكَ السَّلَامُ حَيِّنَا رَبَّنَا بِالسَّلَامُ. عندما يرى الكعبة. يعني at the time when a person first sees the Kaaba, upon entering المسجد الحرام, when a person sees the Kaaba, يعني it is مستحب that a person recite this supplication: اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام حينا ربنا بالسلام. And the meaning of this supplication is that yes, O Allah, you are as-salam. يعني as-salam has many meanings. From amongst its meanings is the one who grants peace and safety and security, the one who is free of any kind of defect or يعني any shortcoming, or who is free from imperfections. As-salam. نعم. أنت السلام ومنك السلام. And the salam comes from you. يعني safety and security and peace and all of this, يعني comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَيِّنَا رَبَّنَا بِالسَّلَامِ means that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني to grant us life, يعني with peace, safety and security. After this supplication, upon seeing the Kaaba, يعني this means that they reach the point where as what? A person has arrived in Mecca and they reach the sacred masjid and they enter the masjid and they actually see in front of them the Kaaba. After that is Tawaf al-Qudum. Tawaf al-Qudum. We mentioned previously that from the arkan of Hajj is Tawaf, right? Which Tawaf?
No.
A Tawaf al-Ifadah. Naam, the main Tawaf of Hajj. And that Tawaf is performed when?
That's during the year.
When exactly? After a person came from Arafat, they spent the night in Muzdalifah. The next day they went to Mina. And in Mina, they threw the stones, make the sacrifice, shave, cut their hair, and they go to Mecca to perform Tawaf. That's the Tawaf that we're talking about from the Arkan of Hajj. The Tawaf al-Ifadah, the main Tawaf of Hajj. Here they said Tawaf al-Qudum. What is Tawaf al-Qudum? The Tawaf of Qudum means when you arrive, the arrival Tawaf. At the time when a person arrived in Mecca and they came to the Kaaba, the first Tawaf that they made is called Tawaf al-Qudum. And there's a third Tawaf, which is which one? Al-Wada'. Yani the Tawaf that we said is from the Wajibat of Hajj. Wajibat. So these are three different Tawaf. One of them is a Rukun, one is a Wajib, and one of them is Sunnah. One of them is Sunnah, Tawaf al-Qudum. Mustahab. Number 7, Al-Ittiba'u. Al-Ittiba'u with Dad and Ta and Ayn. He says in the footnote, يعني كشف الكتف الأيمن يعني uncovering the right shoulder, that is to take the end of the rida and put it underneath your arm underneath the right arm underneath the يعني armpit of the right arm يعني and then over the left shoulder. Okay, so this is point number 7. Point number 7 is to do what is called ittiba', that is to uncover the right shoulder, yani with the upper garment, to uncover the right shoulder and throw it over the left shoulder. This is from the sunan, that are mustahab of yani the hajj, and this is performed in the tawaf of qudum faqat, only. Unlike what we see people today uncovering the shoulder for the whole Hajj. This is not from the Sunnah. This is not legislated. Rather, this should be done only in the Tawaf of Qudum.
Covering.
Huh? The uncovering of the right shoulder. During the rest of the other than the Tawaf of Qudum, yani when the person entered the masjid and they came to the Kaaba and they started to make Tawaf, at that point they should uncover their shoulder. Not before then. When they get ready to make the first Tawaf, they should uncover the right shoulder, and they make 7 circuits around the Kaaba, and when they finish the last circuit, they should cover it back again. That's the only time a person's right shoulder should be uncovered, during, from the beginning to the end of the Tawaf of Qudum. The 8th point, Ar-Ramal. And in the footnote it says, number 30, Ramal, Isra الخطأ مع المقاربة بين قدميه. يعني that a person hasten, take quick steps along with مقاربة بين القدمين, يعني with the feet being close, not taking long strides, but right, short, quick steps. That's called a رمل. And you could say jogging, something like that. No. And this is في الأشواط الثلاثة. نعم. نعم الأول. When is this done? This رمل is only done in the first three circuits around the Kaaba. والمشي في البقية. And then a person should walk in the remaining. So that means in the Tawaf of Qudum, the person is gonna like do this short quick steps, yani like jogging, going around the Kaaba. They're gonna do this for the first three circuits. And then after that, they're gonna walk the rest of the four circuits. And this is only done in Tawaf al-Qudum. It's only done in Tawaf al-Qudum and only in the first three circuits. Naam. Naam. Yani the Tawaf, the circuits of Tawaf, they begin and end at the black stone. So when a person begins to make the circuit, yani, then they should try, if they're possible, in the Tawaf of Qudum, when you first arrive for the first Tawaf, you should try to, yani, go quickly around the Kaaba for the first three circuits and then walk the remaining. Number 9, Salatul Raka'atain. Yani performing two rak'ah khalfa maqami Ibrahim wa qira'atu suratay al-kafirun wal-ikhlas feehima ba'd al-fatiha. Yani meaning that also from that which is mustahab is that a person perform two rak'ah behind the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they should recite in those two rak'ah after the recitation of al-fatiha surat al-kafirun and surat al-ikhlas. And in some of the narrations of the hadith is mentioned that it's also from the sunnah to recite Suratul Ikhlas and Suratul Kafirun, meaning in the reverse order. And in other words, in the first rak'ah reciting Suratul Kafirun, and then the second rak'ah Suratul Ikhlas, or in the first rak'ah reciting Suratul Ikhlas, and the second rak'ah reciting Suratul Kafirun. Both of them are narrated in the sunnah. Yeah, it said, yani, person should, yani, perform those two rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim. It doesn't mean directly behind, it means behind anywhere. Yani, you can be standing in the 10th row behind or in the 50th row behind there, it doesn't matter. Behind Maqam Ibrahim, not in front of it. According, if a person is able. If according to a person's ability. Yani, whoever is able to do it, yani, without causing harm to themselves or without causing harm to others. Okay, the next point number 10 is on the following page 87. It says taqbil al-hajr al-aswad aw istilamuhu. Yani meaning that either the person should kiss the black stone or they should No, they should kiss it, yani with their lips touching the black stone. Or they should istilamuhu means to touch it, or to touch it. Naam. Also, if a person is not able to touch it even, then they can point to it. This is in reference to the black stone. This is in reference only to the black stone. And of course, that's if you can do it without causing harm to yourself or causing harm to anyone else. Yeah, it's sunnah, so you shouldn't say, I'm going to kiss this black stone even if I have to knock 10 people down. No, because it's sunnah. And knocking people down is haram. So now, the Prophet ﷺ told Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, you're a strong man, do not harm the people to touch the black stone. Do not harm people. Now.
But it's just full of flying kiss, you know?
No, there's no flying kiss. You either kiss it, or you touch it, or you signal to it. Signal, point your hand towards it. That's what sunnah. I'm saying, this is the sunnah. The sunnah is to kiss it physically, or to touch it with your hand, or to signal to it, point to it. Not flying kiss. No, that's not from the Sunnah. That's okay. Alhamdulillah, it's not from the Sunnah. Huh? Huh? Yeah, women are making tawaf just as men are making tawaf. Women are in the tawaf circle just like men are in the tawaf circle. There's no special place for women to make tawaf. It's one place and everybody is there together. I mean, that's anyway what it is. So that's why people should be conscious, you know, and careful. And, you know, like, be observant of what you're doing. I mean, there are men and women together making tawaf. Maybe you were moving too slow. She wanted you to step up a little bit. I think if she punched you a few times, you might speed it up. Hey, let's not get too sidetracked, brother. We got a long way to go. Now, the point number 11 is Istilam al-Rukni al-Yamani. That is touching the Yamani corner. The Yamani corner, which corner is the Yamani corner?
The corner right before the black stone.
The corner right before the black stone. Meaning, if you start at the black stone, there's a second corner, there's a third corner, and then the fourth corner, the last corner before you come back to the black stone. That's the Yamani corner. Okay, so from the Sunnah is Istilam, touching the Rukn al-Yamani, touching it. If you couldn't touch it, then there's no signaling to it, pointing to it or anything. It's just, yani, that's from the Sunnah. For the black stone, you should kiss it. If you can't, you should touch it. If you can't, you can just point towards it. As far as the Yamani corner, there's no kissing it, and there's no signaling to it. Just touch it if you can, otherwise, you pass by it. Istilam al-Rukn al-Yamani. It's one of the corners of the Kaaba. It's called the Yamani corner. Yemen, yes, Yemen. Naam. Huh?
What is the history behind the Yamani corner?
Allahu A'lam. In any case, look, these are just places or things that are mentioned that have something to do with the obligations or the yani duties that a person should attend to while performing Hajj. So we have to know about these things. We have to know what these places are and what we are supposed to do there. Because most of the people don't know. Some people are kissing the Yamani corner. And other people are pointing to it every time they pass by it, as though it's the black stone. And people don't know. People don't know. They don't know. I do. let's have some yani adab in the masjid.
What about the people that crawl and trying to get, you know, standing on the doors, the wall there,
yeah,
in front of the doors,
yeah.
Yeah, what's the significance of that?
We'll come to it, inshallah. We'll come to it. Now, I mean, it's also from the Sunnah. Now, it's from the Sunnah, inshallah. Yani, this is the space on the Kaaba that's between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba. Multazim. Yani, it's from the Sunnah to yani supplicate there, to put your body and your face and your arms against that place. Huh? Not the door. The space, the part of the Kaaba that's between the black stone and the door. That space that's in between them. Inshallah, we'll come to it. Now, but this is also from the Sunnah. So, the point number 12, al-dhikru wa du'a fi tawaf. And from those things that are mustahab, is that a person is engaged in dhikr and du'a, especially in tawaf. And we said dhikr and du'a in general in Hajj, but here saying specifically, we're going to come to it, inshallah, specifically in tawaf. And tawaf is one of the, and there are many special points during Hajj in which supplication, dhikr and dua is emphasized. And from amongst them is while you're making tawaf. And from amongst them is while you're making sa'i. And from amongst them is when a person is standing on the mountain of Safar and Marwa and so on. Standing in Arafat. There are certain places where it's extra emphasis on supplication, inshallah, we mention it when we come to them. One of them is during the tawaf. Yani, there's no special supplication for the tawaf. Rather, a person can be engaged in any legislated dhikr or dua or recitation of Quran, istighfar, salat ala nabi. All of that is legislated. But there's nothing specific that the Prophet ﷺ said while making the tawaf, except yani, the supplication between the Yemeni corner and the black stone. And it will come to it, inshallah. But generally, a dhikr and dua is emphasized while a person is making tawaf. A person should be engaged in the dhikr of Allah and dua and recitation of Quran and praying for the Prophet ﷺ and seeking forgiveness from Allah. Any person, they should be engaged in the remembrance of Allah, and not any person making tawaf and holding conversation with whoever is with them. That shouldn't be taking place. Even though it's permissible to talk while you're making tawaf, as the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, that tawaf is salat, except that Allah has allowed talking during the tawaf. But the talking that person should be engaged in is dhikr and dua. Point number 13. As-sa'ud ala safa aw juz'in minhu wa kadhalika ala al-marwati. Yani, that a person should climb up the mountain of Safar or any part of it, and likewise al-marwa. But I think today maybe it's not even possible anymore with the reconstruction of the masjid. Before you used to could climb, but now enclosed. Naam. Yes, you can climb. Naam. You can climb very high. Yeah. In any case, now you can't climb on the mountain, but you go to the mountain, to the foot of the mountain, and you face the Kaaba and yani supplicate. Okay? Huh? Yani, when you come from the Kaaba, after making tawaf, and praying two rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim and drinking from Zamzam, then you should go to make sa'i. That which is closest to the Kaaba is the mountain of As-Safar. You start from there and then you go to Marwa, and that counts as one. And then when you came back, that counts as two. And three, four, five, six, seven, you should end up at the mountain of Al-Marwa. As-Sa'ud, yani this is from the things that were mustahab, but right? Not possible today. Number 14, Istiqbal al-Qibla. كل ما بلغ الصفا والمروة مع دعاء والتكبير والتحليل. يعني from the things that are mustahab is facing the Qibla every time you reach the mountain of Safa and the mountain of Al-Marwa. Every time you reach them, you should face the Qibla and you should supplicate and يعني declare the greatness of Allah and the oneness of Allah, يعني with the supplications that are mentioned in the Sunnah. Probably in Al-Wajiz we'll look at some of the specific supplications that is mentioned in the Sunnah for this. But the point here, they mention what? Facing the Qibla. Every time you reach the mountain of Safa and every time you reach the mountain of Marwa, you should face the Kaaba. And it says Qibla, but of course, here now you'll be facing the Kaaba. You're right there, right? So the Qibla means the direction of the Kaaba. But you're going to actually be facing the Kaaba. You're going to be right there in its presence. Every time you reach those two mountains, you should face the Kaaba. And you should supplicate and yani, engage in dhikr of Allah and His. In case you miscount. No, I mean, if you miscount in salat, right? Then you consider what you are certain about. This is the lowest number, and then you just build on that. Naam. But hopefully you won't forget, because it's very far and very difficult. And you're going to forget and do more extra. Allahu musta'an. If salat comes while you're making it, you stop and pray there. You don't go pray, you pray right there. You don't go anywhere. It's too crowded. Halas, you just pray where you are. You're in the Kaaba. You're at the Kaaba. You're in the sacred masjid. Yani, the mountains of Safa and Marwa are enclosed in the masjid itself now. Before it didn't used to be that, of course it wasn't, but now it is part of the masjid. Now it is part of the masjid. The masjid is big, expanded beyond the mountain of Safa and Marwa. Mountain is big, I mean the masjid is tremendous. Okay, istiqbal al-qibla. Every time you read Salat al-Safar al-Marwa. Number 15, qira'atu al-aya al-atiya inda bada'i al-sa'yi inna al-safa wal-marwata min sha'arillah. This is from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 158 ayat. And he's saying, yani, that is the saying of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nabda'u bima bada'allahu bihi. So this is also mustahab, that a person recite the following ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that indeed as-safa and al-marwata are from the signs and symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, inna as-safa wal-marwa. This ayat, from Surah Al-Baqarah, 158 ayat, person should recite it. At the time of when? Inda bada'i as-sa'i. At the time when you're about to begin the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, you recite this ayat, and also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we begin with what Allah began with. Meaning, in the ayat, Allah began with the mountain of Safa, so in our sa'i, we begin with the mountain of Safa. We begin with what Allah began with. Point number 16, al-mashyu bayna as-safa wal-marwa, yani walking between the two mountains of as-safa and marwa. Illa ma bayna al-alamayn al-akhdarayn wa huwa batnu al-wadi fa innahu yas'a baynahuma ay yusri al-khuta. Yani the point number 16 is that is the walking between the two mountains of as-safa and marwa, except when a person is in between the two green lights. Okay. Two green markings. Al-alam, al-alam means a marking. Yani, al-alamayn al-akhdarayn. Now they put lights. It wasn't lights here before, right? They put lights there because it's easier to see, right? At night and stuff like that. So make sure you can see it. So they put lights, green lights, so you can see the green markings. So a person should be walking between the mountain of Safa and Marwa. Except when they came between the two green markings. And that place is what is called the Batn al-Wadi, yani it is the belly of the valley, yani the lower part. At that time, it was like that. And in this place, a person is supposed to hasten between the two green markings. Yani meaning, walking very, very fast or running. Yusri al-Khuta. Yani a person should run between those if they're able.
Between the two.
When they came to the first green marking, until they reach the next one, they should run, which is a small distance. And then the rest of the distance, before that and after that, they're walking. I mean, it's not 6 feet, it's more than that. But I mean, in comparison to the whole distance, it's not that long. It's not, yani, half of it, it's not half like that. But it's, you know, smaller distance than the whole distance. Okay, so the sa'i requires that a person walk between the mountains of Safa and Marwa, except when they between the two green markings, they should run. They should run according to your ability. If it's Hajj time, you're not going to be able to run, and there's no running because it's just too crowded. No way to run. There's no space to run. Point number 17: at-taharatu lis-sa'i. Amma at-tawafu fat-taharatu shartun fihi. Note. At-tahara lis-sa'i. Amma at-tawaf fat-taharatu shartun fihi. What is the meaning of this? Huh? What is the meaning? What's this point? What's the meaning? The meaning of this is what? The holder.
Why are you doing sa'i?
Why are you doing sa'i? You have to?
Tahara is mustahab.
You have to, it's mustahab to be in a state of tahara.
Itself is a condition.
Naam. So the point we're saying here is that it's mustahab when a person is making tawaf to be in a state of purification, as opposed to when a person is making tawaf, it is a shart, a precondition for the validity of the tawaf, that you have to be in a state of tahar. That's the opinion of the majority. However, if we have a chance to look at this issue a little bit more in detail, it may become clear that the opinion of the minority is that it's not a precondition to be in a state of tahara for tawaf. And that is the stronger opinion based on evidence. But in any case, this is the opinion of the majority, so we're going to mention it the way they mention it. Tawaf, yani, it's a precondition for validity of tawaf to be in a state of tahara.
Tahara,
Huh? That's the opinion of the majority of the scholars. So, that's what we're saying. I'm just saying that there's difference of opinion about it. If we have time, we may look at it. In my view, from what I have read, the opinion of the minority seems to be stronger in terms of evidence. Allahu alam. Yani? Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. MashaAllah. Okay, let's not get sidetracked, right? Point number 18. Az-zikru, what's important to know is what's the opinion of the majority. If a person has the time and the ability to research some of these issues, there's a lot of difference of opinions. What we're saying here is the opinion, probably it's the majority opinion. But there's difference of opinion about a lot of things in fiqh. So, a person who has the ability to look at the details of those issues, it's important to try to do so. Point number 18. Az-zikru wa du'a fi sa'i. Yani we said that from the mustahabat is dhikr and dua and tawaf. Now we're saying also in a sa'i. Remember, there's about 7 places in which dhikr and dua is emphasized during Hajj. And these are 2 of them, a tawaf and sa'i. These are 2 places where it's emphasized. And one of the most important places of dua in Hajj, one of the very most important, the most important is Arafat. And also, huh? Oh, the khayru du'a, the best du'a of Arafat. Naam. La ilaha illallah. Naam. But it may be mentioned here. Yeah, it's mentioned here. Naam. That from the most important places of du'a during Hajj is at the time of stoning the Jamarat. Jamarat. It is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he stoned the smaller Jamarah, that he went to the side and supplicated, in the length of time that it would take to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Naam. That's Sahih. Hadith Sahih. So this shows you how important is the supplication at the Jamarat. He supplicated after the small one and the middle one. He didn't supplicate after the big one. In any case, the point is here what? That dhikr and dua is important during Hajj, and there are some places where it's extra emphasized. And from them is the Sa'i. Point number 19. Tafdeel al-halq ala taqseer. Ya Abu Bakr.
No.
Tafdeel al-halq ala taqseer. Al-halq ala taqseer. Yani, that is mustahab. Yani, to give preference to shaving the head over cutting the hair short. Yani, that's mustahab. That you should give preference. It's not mandatory, it's not sinful. If a person, just didn't want to shave their head, it's no sin against them. But giving preference to the shaving, يعني مستحب. Point number 20. الإحرام بالحج يوم التروية لمن كان متمتعا أو كان من أهل مكة. يعني entering the state of إحرام for Hajj on the day of تروية. What is the day of تروية? The 8th of ذو الحجة. يعني the 8th of ذو الحجة is the first day of Hajj. It's known as يوم التروية. And it is mustahab that a person enter the state of ihram for Hajj on that day, on the 8th, specifically for the one who is mutamatti'an, or the one who is from the people of Mecca. Why is this for the mutamatti'an and the people of Mecca? Why is it mustahab to enter ihram on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah? What's the meaning of this? What's the significance of this? Okay, for the people of Mecca, why they will enter on the 8th, the ihram? Because they're already in Mecca, they live there. So when it came time for Hajj, they have to enter Ihram. The Mutamatti, why they have to enter on the 8th as opposed to the Qarin? They're related to animals, something, but the reason being is that, remember there are 3 types of Hajj, right? Tamattu, Qiran, and Ifrad. Ifrad, the person is performing Hajj alone, without Umrah. Yani Qiran means the person is performing Hajj and Umrah in one Ihram. When they entered the Ihram for Umrah, they never got out of it until they made Hajj. So that person is already in Ihram. On the 8th, they don't have to enter Ihram. They're in Ihram 8. The Mutamatti, he has to enter Ihram on the 8th because what? When he finished Umrah, he got out of Ihram. He got out of Ihram. That's the point of Mutamatti, right? That he gets relief to relax and enjoy everything like a normal person until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. As far as the Qarin, khalas, if they came the first day of Shawwal, they decided after Ramadan they're going to make Hajj and they got an Ihram and they're making Qiran and they're in the state of Ihram, then the whole month of Shawwal and Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah until they made yani the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, yani they are staying in Ihram the whole time. The person who's making Qiran, they can't come out of Ihram. If you didn't bring your animal, then change your intention. Those who intended to make Qiran, he told them change it to Tamattu, to get out of Ihram and go back in on the 8th. Now,
if you're acquiring Ihram, how are you going to take your ghusl?
Well, I mean, it's not that difficult. Yani, you go into a shower place, a shower stall, and take your Ihram off and take a ghusl. And then put it back on when you come out.
You just have only one, or you can have different ones?
I mean, you can have more than one, but most people have one. Yani, you're going to be in Ihram. Yani, if you're doing Quran, then the person, they're going to have to wash it, obviously, right? Or they're going to have to have more than one. But most of the people, they're only going to be in Ihram for a small period of time. So you don't need more than one. It's just wear one. I mean, I never had more than one Ihram, ever, in Hajj. Because we're always making tamattu. But if a person makes Qiran, they might need more than one, or they're going to have to wash it, because it's going to be a long time, yeah, and they're going to get dirty. Yeah, because the person making Qiran has to stay in the state of Ihram. Wow. They can take the cloth off and take a bath and wash it, but they can't get out of the yani restrictions of Ihram, meaning they're not allowed to clip their nails, they're not allowed to shave their hairs, they're not allowed to use scent. They can take a bath. You can take a bath. And you can wear another ihram. No problem. You can change the ihram. No problem.
What's
Qiran? Qiran means that you're making Umrah and Hajj in one state of ihram. When you enter ihram, you stayed in the state of ihram until you finished Hajj. Tamattu means you made Umrah, you got out of ihram, and you're just a regular person doing everything normal until the 8th. You got back in ihram again, and you stay 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 6 days. And then you got out of Ihram. Okay, let's move on quickly. Inshallah. Tafdil al-Haq, Ihram bil-Hajj, al-Mabit bi-Mina, Laylatul Arafat. This is also mustahab that a person spend the night in Mina, Laylatul Arafat. When is Laylatul Arafat? Laylatul
Arafat.
Yes, the night of Arafat. When is the night of Arafat? The night before Arafat. The night before. Laylatul Jumu'ah means what we call Thursday night. Because the night comes before the day, right? So when he says here, Al-Mabit bi Mina Laylatul Arafat, means that you should spend the night in Mina the night before going to Arafat. Arafat is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So the night, the 8th day you're in Mina, you should spend the night in Mina. You shouldn't go out someplace and go somewhere. You should spend the night there and then go to Arafat from Mina in the morning. Al-Mabit bi Mina Laylat Arafat. 22. At-Tawajjuh ila Arafat Subha Yawmi Arafat. Yani that a person should head towards Arafat in the morning of the day of Arafat. In the morning of the day of Arafat. Anytime after Fajr. Number 23. Al-Baqa bi Namira hatta al-Zawal. Yani, the person should remain in the place called Namira. Namira is a place that's very near to Arafat. It's very near to Arafat. Person should remain there until al-Zawal. Yeah, until the sun reaches its height, right, and begins to decline. Directly above head. When it says highest point, directly above head. Here, and this is how it's mentioned in this textbook, right? 23, remaining in Namira until Zawal.